Today is November 15, 2009. You're listening to the TFormers.com podcast. Podcast. I am your highly medicated and somewhat under the weather Iron High 1975. As such, I will not be doing most of the talking of this episode, which may please many of our listeners. However, I've brought two individuals who are able to step up into the plate and fill in the gaps of which the void I have left. And as such, I have Ender.
Hello.
And from the Moonbase 2 podcast, the one and only Kal-El Prime.
Hello, everybody.
Hey.
Hey. Can I just, just before we get started, can I just say a big happy birthday to my co-host, Andy, Cobra Commander, TFW.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Andy.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't it your birthday, too, David?
Mine's on Tuesday.
Oh, well, happy birthday to you, too.
Oh, happy birthday in advance. Yeah, I didn't realize.
Oh, shucks. That. Oh, guys.
Today is your birthday. Today. Oh, God, there goes.
How aged are you?
I'm the right old age of 27, which basically means I don't sound old, but I make a noise whenever I get out of a chair.
Yes, but that is the ripe old age where people stop talking to you for dates in the date forums.
Yeah. It's
like 26, all right, I'll go out on a date with you. 27, oh, you're too old. What?
How does that work?
Well, I'm pushing 30, so in a few minutes you're going to feel that noise every time you get up. Let me tell you.
Well, God.
I test myself every year to see how long it takes me to get out of a beanbag. Truly test like how agile and nimble I still am.
And when you're approved, they send you a sticker for one more year, right?
Exactly.
That's right. I think you get some youth points for still owning a beanbag.
I've got a Simpsons beanbag upstairs in the attic, or what you would call loft for us. But it's pretty cool.
Excellent.
Kal-El, at some point, I want a tour of you. I want you to make a YouTube video of a tour of your house. I'm curious of where your living environment. We've seen your room. I'm curious what exists outside your room.
Tell us what you're wearing.
or if it's just a brick wall that goes into space, you know, just like that one movie.
I live in a constant vacuum. It's just like my room repeated.
there's like one spot on the wall that you see white space, and it's like, no, I must leave that open just so.
Yeah.
I was
just like, let me get this straight, Anthony. You're suggesting there's somewhere outside my room.
Yeah. You know, there's sometimes you actually have to venture outside into this thing and called sunlight, and it burns at first, but I don't know. There's a joke there somewhere.
I know what he's talking about now. He's right. It's shopping, right?
Yeah. Well, if the Twilight vampires can go outside in the sunshine, so can I.
Oh yeah, that's why Twilight, they sort of sparkle now, don't they?
Isn't that like because of lip gloss or something? I don't know.
All right. Well, this isn't a Twilight podcast. This is a Transformers podcast that just happens to be hosted by a bunch of very nerdy people. But needless to say, we have the news and views that you need to know. So that being said, not much movie news this week, but a little bit of toy news and a whole lot of comic news. So moving on to toy news, Ender, if you would, please.
Okay. So Chevrolet Camaro Transformers Special Edition spied on Auto Circuit. The 2010 Chevrolet Camaro Transformers Special Edition was seen touring the International Auto Show circuit during a stop in Sacramento, California. We took the opportunity to snap several shots of the limited edition package, which includes Transformers labeling and Autobot insignias throughout. Feel free to enjoy these images on TFormers.com. then discuss them with your fellow fans in the T-Formers forums. So it's like Autobot symbols to put on your car.
I actually saw one of these on the road with the Bumblebee coloring. I couldn't really make out if it had any sort of decals for Transformers and stuff, but color side of wise, it's a really nice looking car.
It's a Camaro. I mean, it's a nice car. I don't know. On the note of the detailing, I don't know. It just doesn't seem to be that much throughout, as they say. I mean, I'm looking at the interior here. I don't see any. The couple on the outside. I don't know. I think I'd be more impressed by like a Bumblebee make if they had it for an actual Volkswagen, and it actually like made it look like a Transformer.
But oh, that'd be just cool.
Goodness. I'm kind of like, you get these things and like they're trying to make like the cool Transformers upgrade kits. They're all the little silver symbols and they go under the Camaro thing and they're kind of subtle. It's kind of like if you're dorky enough to want your car to look like a Transformer, why wouldn't you be like, you know, balls to the wall and have like the big symbol slapped right on the hood or
I did that, and actually, strangely enough, you would be surprised the amount of people that gave me crap on the highway. I don't know if there's like some bias against Transformer cars on the highway, but people would cut. It seemed like when I had my symbols on my car, people would cut in front of me more and were just generally rude to me more. I'm like, I guess I should be a Decepticon.
I was going to say, it must have been Decepticons.
No, it was Autobot. I haven't tried.
No. I meant like the people cutting you off.
I don't know. But it was like, the other thing I found out too is that generally if you're out on the road, you don't want to have a car that automatically singles you out if somebody wants to make a phone call to the police. So just in case you're speeding.
Well, yeah. It's just like conform, Anthony. That was your problem.
Well, I put my decals on my car for a while, but I don't know what it was, but it seemed like people were just generally duty heads to me on the highway.
I can believe it. It's like you signaled yourself in your automobile as a dork.
Yeah, and then all these OSU people with their little OSU stickers and whatnot go around just looking absolutely normal. It's like, I don't get it. I don't get football. Anyhow.
I've heard of football.
Yeah, it's this weird sport where people bang their heads together, so.
Yeah, something like that. Well, and then, you know, then people
except
drive
in Europe these where they actually play with their feet, which is
feet, yeah, which
way.
Like makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm not getting into the whole football debate thing. I think on either side of the Atlantic, it's a complete waste of time.
Yeah, that's pretty much true. Well, the whole I think if you're going to go on the waste of time format, I mean, like, isn't like anything that by definition is about like the manipulation of some inflated orb from one side of an arena to another kind of a waste of time?
Yeah, that's true. But this is coming from the guys who buy children's toys as a. Yeah. It's a form of entertainment. That being said, however, the one thing that I will say is I appreciate the hardcoreness of American football fans over British football fans. We just like play a couple of games, buy a couple of shirts and all of that stuff. Like Super Bowl Sunday, I don't understand it. Like people go out and buy new TVs just to watch the Super Bowl. I appreciate that kind of hardcore.
That's just because the commercials are so good.
Yeah, it's tradition. It's tradition that all the new commercials come out that day. So,
and I thought, you know, Europe was where we have like the actual casualties from sports fans. Like,
No, people will die over in Europe, but
but they won't buy a new TV.
Well, exactly. That you know, it doesn't cost nothing to take a life. You know,
ooh.
We only trample each other at Walmart.
Yeah, point. Yeah, yeah. They trample each other on the field. We trample at Walmart. Go figure.
Yeah,
I think this is why. This is why
to buy the TV to watch the Super Bowl.
This is why I think you should. We should outlaw football in general and sports in general because it incites riots. But that's
see people getting angry at tennis though.
Like, actually, what was that one? But what was that one girl that did? Yeah, except the players that wanted to beep the ball up there. Beep.
Yeah,
that one that get all hoity-toity or something. Anyhow, we're going off on a weird tangent here. So
we only have
anyway,
four.
So,
anyway.
Yeah, all right. So
yeah, so Bumblebee stickers.
Yay! Woo-hoo. All right, next story. Kal-El, you get to read.
Yeah, Toy Hobby is going to be releasing the next Gentai figure, which is going to be Dark Skyfire. Toy Hobby has announced that they will be releasing an exclusive Gentai Dark Skyfire, which, obviously, if you are interested, Gentai, meaning limited. The store has begun to take pre-orders and will do so until December 11th, with the planned release date being sometime in March 2010. The figure will set you back approximately 3,675 yen, equivalent to $41, a steal for a Gentai figure. So you can have a look at the images and things like that. And yeah, it's a black repaint of Skyfire.
I really like this mold, but it's one of the things where it's, I'm not sure if I would spend $40 for it. But it's a really, really good toy, just from the two versions we got over here.
Well, it is a fantastic toy. But I don't understand. I mean, we've had other Gentais previously. We've had Strafe, which was a repaint of Cyclonus, and we've had Wild Rider, which was the repaint of Rodimus. I just don't understand why they're doing Dark Skyfire. Did somebody just tune out from the imaginary department or something like that on the day? And
yeah, it's the opposite thing where they've decided that all red equals purple because of the insignias, and all white equals black, and
they have a lot of black color dye.
They seem to have a lot of black dye hanging around.
It's not as if it's difficult to find a Decepticon jet that you could repaint this guy into. You know, that you could pick any number of Decepticons throughout Generation 1 and just repaint them and say, look, it's such and such. But instead they're just like, oh, it's Dark Skyfire or Jetfire.
Well, if they were thinking about it rather than going black over and over again, the thing that was interesting with Starscream, as I recall, was they painted Starscream like Jetfire. So apparently it was beyond them to think of painting Jetfire like Starscream.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, overall, Shattered Glass is, you know, equals boring ass. Just that whole thing has been kind of epic failure. It was like, wow, what a cool idea that you just like didn't deliver on in any fun way at all.
But yeah, I mean, it's a fairly cheap price for a Gentai figure, and if you don't buy it now, it's going to be a hell of a lot more than $41 in a few months' time.
Right.
I mean, was it the Wild Riders going for like $200? Like, that's the current going price for one, you know. It's go buy it if you want it, because it does look. Yeah. Don't get me wrong; it looks like a nice figure. It looks really nice.
Well, I think if I'd gone into the Shattered Glass thing when it started out, even just completist wise, I'd feel the need to keep getting those figures that went into those.
And are you downloading something in the background?
No,
you're turning into a robot.
I have touched nothing.
Oh, okay.
I touch not the wires. I do not play with the controls.
Stop modulating your voice like Soundwave.
Oh, I sound like Soundwave?
Yeah, actually, it sounds pretty cool, but I can't understand you.
So I'm already cooler than Revenge of the Fallen.
Oh.
No.
You know, actually, I saw that we were over at somebody's...
Gadget. Next.
I was just waiting for him to say that. He was in space. They could have ended the movie with that. Get you next time, Prime. Next time. That would have been awesome.
Wow.
It's got the little cat in space.
Actually, I saw Revenge of the Fallen on Blu-ray for the first time the other day, and I tell you, I was seeing things in the forest scene I had not noticed before. I don't know if it is that the higher you get with the definition, you get to see more stuff, but it looked absolutely amazing to me. So, granted, all I saw was the forest scene, and then, you know, jump to the end scene, but that was about it.
like everyone.
So what
America,
you saw, what you actually saw that day was a much more streamlined and much more successful movie. Forest scene, end credits.
No, forest scene, Prime killing the Fallen, and which, by the way, once again, I never knew about this Give Me Your Face line until I was listening to you guys, the Moonbase 2 guys. I'm like, give me your face, and then I'm like, there it is. So... Yeah. But yeah, it's like a forest scene, end fight scene, where after Prime gets all of his Jetfire's parts, and there you go. I'm quite content for another 3 weeks.
I just like, give me your face line every time. I'm just like, you know, I'm really trying to enjoy this. And then he says that. I'm just like, oh, man. Why? Why are you going to throw that in there? It's just so dumb sounding.
Prime, why? All right.
Your face, like, oh, yeah, that's the voice of my dad from when I was a kid. That's right. That sounds just like what I came here
for. Wow. I think we've nailed down Ender's real problem with this movie. Reminds me.
I'm one of the many people who, like, you know, needed a little extra, you know, daddy oomph and found it in the Transformers. I've always thought that's one of the things that separated Prime as a main character out from others is you're not supposed to be him. He's supposed to be your dad. Ah. That's what's comforting about him as a character. There's a lot of people who tell you that. I just read an interview with Peter Cullen where he said people come up to him and were like, you were my dad in the 80s. Like, he gets that all the time.
As opposed to Ender's real father, who was arrested and tried for face stealing.
I was thinking that in the reverse, that I was expecting Peter Cullen to be voicing the character who I thought of as a father figure, whereas all of a sudden now he's talking about face removal. And he removes his third face in the film. It's like Obi-Wan and his limb lapping problem, you know? Every movie, you have to take off one limb at least.
Once again, we've descended down into Ender's House of Suck. All stolen from Andy's crappy corner. But needless to say, allows me to say, moving on, somebody talk about Takara cancels that device label blaster. I'm sad.
Okay, we'll just... according to the pre-order page at retailer Red Mercury, translated, after pushing device label blaster back from September to December, Tomi Takara has straight out canceled the product. It is unknown why this version has been canceled, but if you're going through sadness, just splurge and pick up device label Tigatron Ravage, the USB thumb drives. I wonder if those just must not have sold well is why they're canceling this.
I'm assuming so.
Can anybody, like, is anybody surprised at this, though? I mean, this is the problem that Takara seemingly don't understand is they're releasing inferior, PC products, whether it be a 2 gig USB thumb drive. And you're like, oh, wow, 2 gigs. And it's, I just don't understand why they thought these would work. It's like,
I think what they were thinking, and more correctly, is that The software on those was what they were really selling in some ways. But they didn't make it clear that that's what was going to be on them until, like, what, 2 weeks before they came out?
Yeah.
So anyone who would have pre-ordered them going like, oh, I mean, because we looked at these and we're like, wow, so you got a, you know, $5 product inside a $10 product and you're charging $40 for it. Mm. What the hell is that? With the software inside, that goes up. Maybe not to, you know, some astronomical value level, but at the same time, what you're really paying for there is the software that comes off of the drive. It kind of makes the thing make sense. It explains a lot of the extra expense, but it was not made clear until the things were practically on the market. And most people order these things, at least in the U.S. You know, you're not going to get these in a store. So not having that, like, it was just like they were selling something that made no sense. So I don't think those didn't sell, and hence we're getting this thing canceled. Anyway, I mean, it looks like Blaster, which is kind of cool, but it's like Blaster inside a shell that looks nothing like Blaster.
Yeah.
And doesn't do anything,
I think you've hit the nail on the head, Ender. I mean, basically, I think the price point is just a major contention. If they were maybe $10 less, they might be more cost affordable to a lot of people. I know $40 is just a little bit steep for a USB drive.
It's... Well, I mean, to be honest, they've gone ahead and cancelled this, and they cancelled those watches that they were going to do a while ago. Maybe they've just finally realised that, like, you know, hopefully they'll realise that just we don't care about the electronics and all of that stuff. Just give us the toys. I'm guessing, however, if these have been pushed back from September to December, that Takara's already lost probably a fair bit of money in doing this, because I'm sure they must at least have a fair bit of these, you know, already made up, or at least the deals are in place, because to my knowledge, Takara isn't a technology manufacturer or anything like that, so I'm guessing they're liaising with a third party, because what, Blaster was a USB hub?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Oh, so right, that's right.
So who's doing all the, you know, the background tech work. So maybe it's just a car out of thought. It's just, yeah, more cost effective to just take the hit on this one. And, you know, as such, they needed to make some money quickly. So they rustled up a dark Skyfire figure. you know.
Or maybe we'll see these at BotCon, crossing my fingers.
Well, you know, or if they really have any sense, they've made this mold, take the stupid USB thing out of it, slap a Classics label on it, and sell us the freaking toy.
Yeah, for like $20
You know,
less.
God forbid this toy company sells us a toy.
What, selling toys that don't act like actual devices that they're supposed to be? What are you talking about, Ender?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think they'd have done better with, I mean, like, I think we'd have bought, you know, those Ravage figures if they just looked like USB drives and that was like the toy.
Well, if you had the toy that came with, if you had,
you know, they probably could have sucked $10 out of us for that.
Yeah, Blaster, and it came with the all the characters, and it was just toys. You know, yeah, that would be a good toy. Maybe they thought too hard on this. Was maybe the problem?
You know, yeah. Like, what if they actually did the things, and it was like, then it'd be kind of silly because it would just cost too much. It costs too much. All these things are becoming more expensive, and you really can't get away with some of the gimmicky things I think you used to. Mm-hmm. Even just the electronics, I think, is probably getting too expensive to put in a lot of things. It isn't the bang for the buck isn't worth it. I mean, if somebody told you you could get Jetfire, Prime, and Megatron from the Revenge of the Fallen line for $10 cheaper if their eyes didn't light up, or they didn't talk, I mean, would you care? Do you think kids care? I mean, I guess maybe it's a toy aisle thing, but really, like, isn't that feature pretty much fun in the toy aisle, and then it's nothing else?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, I mean, in terms of actual value, I wonder if they'd sell more from the less fun in the toy aisle, but more likely to be bought by the parent.
I think it would be a quite interesting thing if you did, like, a poll on T-Formers, which basically just asked, when you get your toy home, like, do you just rip the batteries right out of them? Because I know I do.
If the
electronics are in a stupid place and are activated in a ridiculous way, that just causes me to just hear crap every 5 seconds, then I'll rip the batteries right out. If it's something like Universe Silverbolt, where it's like his only real sound effect is if you press a button or if you transform him and you get the transforming sound, then that's cool. But like that Revenge of the Fallen Megatron. Revenge of the Fallen Optimus Prime, from what I understand, and I don't own the figures, but just like watching people review them, especially Prime, his sound effects go off constantly because he's such a beast to transform.
That or Classics Power Glide.
But it's like, you know, so it, yeah, nah, I would gladly have the electronics ripped out and pay $10 less.
I think if I wanted any electronics in my Transformers figures, and I think I'd only really want this in Transformers figures as opposed to other toys, just a switch, an on-off, maybe with...
Uh-oh. Ender?
Guys? What?
You there?
I'm here.
Oh, you dropped out for a second.
There was a switch, and then...
Okay.
You switched.
And then imaginations ran wild.
Yeah. No, you said switch, and Ender disappeared. I'm like, wow, he's taking that allegory literally.
Flip the switch. I was thinking too hard. No, just a switch that would make the eyes light up. Or if there were other appropriate parts of the toy that would, you know, be lit in a robotic figure, have those light up. I think lit up eyes look really cool on a Transformer.
But
that's about it. Like maybe like I'd like that in like Star Wars Jedi where their lightsabers light up.
But see, you're missing the point here. You're supposed to have loud, obnoxious toys that you can buy for your nieces and nephews to get revenge on your siblings.
Oh, buy some drums, man.
that's on this year's gift list, by the way. A big nice set of drums for my niece.
So. On the light up eyes note, doesn't it drive you crazy when they're like, they light up and you can tell it's the eyes that light up and you hit the button and the eyes flash?
Yeah.
Why would they flash? Congratulations, you can put an oscillator in a circuit. Why?
Yeah, listen, Wheeljack.
Yeah, if his ears flashed, I would totally be all about that.
Yeah, it should just switch the eyes on, switch the eyes off. That's cool. You know, and even for most of them, it doesn't matter because obviously for the majority of toys, the light piping works fairly adequately. And it's like, you know, but I don't know. I just.
Hasbro designers, take note.
Mm.
And speaking of taking note, moving on to our next story. Talking about upcoming 2010 Revenge of the Fallen dates.
I've taken note of your suggestion to move on to the next story.
Is that the fact that thanks to Kapow Toys, we now have some release dates for upcoming Transformers?
Yes.
Wait, there's upcoming Transformers? They're going to make more?
They're going to make more.
I thought they just stopped in June.
You guys are funny.
Oh,
Dave, why don't you tell us about these?
Yeah, so all of the Revenge of the Fallen figures, which you got to see at Comic-Con 2009, which was what? Things like Skystalker, Bludgeon, who else are we waiting on? I don't know. There's a load. There was quite a few those Legends figures and stuff. Apparently they've been dated. However, I couldn't tell you what those dates are, but I'm pretty sure it's like March of next year or something like that.
Well, it looks like January 2010, we got Human Alliance Barricade with Frenzy. February 2010, we got the...
It's Human Alliance, is it?
Yeah, Human Alliance Mudflap with Simmons and RC. Deluxe Alliance Bumblebee, Brawn, Lockdown, Ratchet, and Strike Mission Sideswipe. And we would tell you more, but unfortunately, if you go to Kapow Toys right now, it says unable to connect to database server. So check back later.
Yeah.
I can't wait for Bludgeon, and I can't wait for Lockdown. Besides that,
I'm really digging Brawn.
Different versions of stuff that's been on the shelf for months.
I'm really digging Brawn, though. Brawn looks like a nice new mold.
The Brawn thing. Nah, I'm not. There's something about the Brawn thing that doesn't sit well with me. I don't know, but yeah, like you and I'm really looking forward to Bludgeon. In terms of the rest of the toys, meh. That's pretty much it. And I'm only going to say this on this podcast just because I need to say it everywhere. Is anybody else just really disappointed that Human Alliance Barricade didn't come with Mustachio Man? Like, is it, you know, like Frenzy, whatever, but he's not a human, so he doesn't fit into the Human Alliance line. Mm. Give us Mustachio Man. Granted, he's a hologram, but you assume that at some point he did exist at somewhere, shape in time. Like, he was probably the actual pilot of 4500 X-ray, you know? Hey. It's like,
Speaking of mustaches, do we ever get confirmation if Pierre Cullen is seen within the IMAX version of Prime driving in the movie?
I didn't see it.
I'm afraid I can't comment because we still don't even have the DVD out yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're not getting it till the end of this month.
Aw, well, crap, I would send you a copy, but you can't play it on your players because of region formatting.
Well, we got the movie before you, but we're getting the DVD after you, at least a month and a half after you. Go figure.
As determined at the Great Geek Summit of 2008.
we'll give them the movie at the cinema first, and then make them hold out for the DVD. Which I think, as far as I'm aware from speaking to quite a few people, it's just ending up on a lot of people's Christmas lists on the basis of the fact that they don't have to buy it themselves.
No one's going to buy it for themselves.
Yeah, it's like, I'll have it for Christmas, thanks, because then I don't have to pay for it.
Actually, that I was going to do that until I was just like, yeah, I need to have this because I'm sure we're going to be talking about it. So the only reason why I bought it was for the podcast to make sure that
that's the only reason I bought it. We have to do that commentary to justify it.
I know, but quite honestly, I'm more excited about doing the commentary for Star Trek V first than Revenge of the Fallen. How sad is that?
Yeah, I know. Like that should tell you something.
All right. Speaking of commentary, and speaking of stuff that we would love to watch, animated season 3 is coming to DVD. And speaking of DVDs, eventually, and it's not official yet, but the DVD will be hitting sometime soon. Amazon.com has put up a product page for the set, but there's no pre-order in sight. you can hold out hope, and just wanted to let you know about it, but don't get your hopes too much up at this point. But we'll let you know when more information comes. So here's cross our fingers if you want to have the complete animated series. Which season 3 had some really outstanding episodes, I thought. Probably some of the best that Iggy ever saw.
Oh, yeah, it was tons of fun. Yeah, lots of the stuff that's going to be in the toys that are coming out. It had. On a self-interest note, you'd think that they would have had their crap together enough to say, you know, we really want this to come out a little after the movie comes out. And if not then, around the time of the DVD release of the movie, because we want people to stand there and see the two of them and buy them at the same time, or to be, you know, inspired to go buy Transformers Jive right after they've seen the movie. It's like, it's getting on to be like near a year now, isn't it? It's got to be like 8 months since that series ended. The other ones came out quicker than this. How long has it been? When was it?
I guess. Yeah. March?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's been some time. It's been like 6-7 months. Right?
Because you got to remember as well, is like all of those leaked episodes of animated came out as well. So everybody was running like weeks ahead as well in terms of seeing all of the episodes. And it's like I'm surprised. Mind you, having said that, for my birthday, I did just get the first two seasons of Transformers Animated. So, you know, that is pretty cool. I don't understand that. And the other thing I don't understand as well is, since when has Amazon become like the go-to place for all of your shopping information?
Well, it's not. It's just the first. I don't think. Honestly, sadly, this isn't really news about it. This is just. I think maybe somebody was selling a bootleg or something, and they ended up putting up this page for the product. There's just been no news. There's been nothing. They haven't done anything about it.
Yeah.
And it's just another one of those, like, are you people allergic to money? Like, really? I mean, like, it's not Revenge of the Fallen. You're not going to walk away with $1 billion. But, like, wouldn't it have been really smart to have, like, you know, somebody have an exclusive 2-pack that had season 3 of Animated and Revenge of the Fallen in it?
Well, not only that as well, but in the meantime, while Revenge of the Fallen was coming out, the entire Generation 1 series was re-released back onto DVD for America. So
I think we lost you there.
Am I wrong? No. Can anybody hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Say it one more time, Kellogg.
No, I was just saying, it's like, and in the interim, you've got the entire Generation 1 series re-released back to the US on DVD for the first time in years. So, obviously, you know, there's that thing there. And if you're in the store and you see the other DVD, you're probably going to pick it up. I don't know. I wonder what kind of deal Hasbro had with Cartoon Network.
I'm thinking that just some Hasbros that walked into Toys R Us on a random whim, walked down the aisle and said, we have 3 different styles of packaging for Transformers. This just ain't going to work. It's not consistent. We're dropping Animated now. And they said, he probably said, we're dropping everything but the movie. And they're like, no, you got to keep classics for at least the fans. He's like, okay, we'll get rid of the animated crap. So, and that's probably what happened.
That's why they cut that stuff out. I'm just talking about the release of the product that was already made. Well, they already made it. All they have to do now is sell it to us.
Yeah, put it this way, if they're going to do it, the DVD is going to come out at best early next year when they re-release the rest of the toys. That to me is the most logical place. I mean, yeah, Amazon haven't got a pre-order up for it yet, so it doesn't look like it's coming out anytime soon. My guess is March, April of next year, coincide with the last wave of toys, your RC, your Rodimus, your things like that. Once they're out, you'll get that, and you'll be able to walk into the shop, and you'll see the toys on the aisle, and then they'll have the DVDs there as well. So if you're going to get it, I suspect that's when it's going to be.
All right.
That makes me so nervous the way you said that.
Well, it might just be they might just look at the amount of money they made from the first two seasons and just wait. You know what? It's just not worth putting in the amount of capital where we could put this capital in somewhere else for Revenge of the Fallen. I mean, Hasbro might have just
released everything on DVD, you know.
Yeah, but it's a trade-off. There's got to be. I'm sure somebody's crunching the numbers and going, well, we could do this DVD, but it's not going to make us as much money as if we take the same amount of capital and do something for Revenge of the Fallen. So these are the questions that people need to ask at the next BotCon, you know, so somebody take note and ask those people.
I still think you're engaging the marketing department at Hasbro is much more likely to say oops than factor.
I'm curious of what goes on at the marketing in fact, I would love to actually help them and give them my insight. So if you're interested. No, I mean, I really would like to talk to somebody.
I'll give them my insight.
Well, I would like to talk to somebody at Hasbro and just go. I mean, the one thing that's always amazed me from the 10 years of getting back into the fandom is that Hasbro does seem to have a really good feeling of what the fans want out there. I mean, if the fans cry loud enough, they generally cave in at some point and say, okay, we will give you this. So, I mean, they generally do have a very good understanding that the fans, and they've even said this at the BotCon, say, you guys are the ones that basically pay our bills, and basically you're the reason why Transformers is still the number one toy, blah, 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 blah. So, but I'm curious to see what their inner thoughts are when they get into some of these meetings and go, you know, for example, season 3 animated DVD, yes or no? You know, I would be curious. I'd be very curious. And if any of, once again, if Hasbro individuals are listening to this podcast, and would like to be interviewed, we'd love to have you on the show. And God knows I'd love to come work for you. So please contact us either way.
Not that I wouldn't like a job from Hasbro, but all pandering aside, if there's anyone from Hasbro or Cartoon Network listening to this, release season 3. We'll pay for it.
Yeah.
With money.
With actual money, not credit. So
this looks like a job for legal tender.
Well, speaking of, you ruined my, I was going to say, I had a great transition.
Yeah, so comic news.
Yeah, comic news.
Yeah.
All right, I'll shut up now. You guys talk.
Okay, so.
Have fun. I'll be back in an
there's
hour.
There's some news items here. Titan comic that Simon Furman wrote came out this week. It's more Skids and Mudflap. It's actually better than last week's. Check it out if you can get your hands on a Titan comic.
Yeah, like I can, but I don't. So
you really don't need to. But if you're inclined, this week's was not bad.
To be honest, actually, just reading about this news story makes me go, "Huh? So that's still going, is it?"
Yeah.
because the animated comic reached issue 3 before it was canceled. So yeah, you know,
and those actually were a little better. They're little throwaway things, and I think I may be the only person in the United States who actually reads these.
Every time I hear about the Titan comics, I get really depressed because like one harkens back to like Marvel UK days, and it's the bulk of the mythology was crafted by this man in the UK, and then it's like now what's he doing 20 years later? Well, he can't get a job in the US anymore,
cannot possibly fathom.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe it's just a mandate from Hasbro just saying your stories can't be like rocking, or maybe they just go. I mean, it does skew for a lower demographic, but meh.
Well, Simon Furman, I always think he's kind of become the meatloaf of Transformers fiction. The casserole. I mean, like, it's just we kind of know what we're getting, and we know it's pretty good, but we know what we're getting.
No, sorry. I thought you actually were trying to draw a direct contrast between Simon Furman and Rockstar. Wannabe meatloaf. I was thinking, well, they don't look alike, and I probably guess Simon Furman can't sing. But
yeah, whenever I think of meatloaf, I just think of this is Bob. Bob has, and I can't say it on here. But
So Outlaw Blues is apparently quite good.
It's the they're serialized, so it's kind of like this is a good 5 pages and kind of a crappy 50-page story, so I don't know what that really says. But it's funny because it's a Skids and Mudflap story, but Simon Furman's like I'm an idiot vocab just isn't big enough to write Skids and Mudflap, so they come off better. Like it doesn't seem like Skids and Mudflap at all, really, which kind of is its big bonus. And they flagrantly drew like a G1-ized sound wave in this last issue, which was kind of funny.
Nice.
So we had a preview for Last Stand of the Wreckers, one of the few things I think all of us are really excited about.
Oh. That's
the preview
yes,
pages but don't tell us much except it's well drawn, which we kind of knew. I didn't, you know, this was just their sort of official release to remind us it was coming out, even though they've released previews before. I think almost the news here is it's like, why have you sent us the same news about Last Stand of the Wreckers like four times?
Maybe it's like
how many times you can pronounce it?
I'm just thinking maybe it's the thing where they're like, oh, we should really keep sending out this stuff about Last Stand of the Wreckers to make sure that people actually remember that it's coming out, because we don't want it to get totally overshadowed by the upcoming ongoing series. Whereas I think they're slightly out of phase with actual popularity of the fans, because they're just going, where the hell is my Last Stand of the Wreckers? And can we just get this ongoing series out of the way with so we can get to it?
Yeah.
So yeah, but so, we now got to see the Overlord arrival page thing in color, and he just looks badass. yeah, cool.
So then there's the you don't want to know anything about this, do you? The preview?
No, I don't. No, it's the 8-page preview.
Maybe you want to take your headset off for a few seconds, and I should type you when it is time for you to. Put them back
I think
on.
That might be a good idea. I shall phase out.
Okay. And I will just give you, just keep your eye on the screen. I'll give you a little message when I'm done. I'll try and keep it brief.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here we go. Spoilers, everyone. Spoilers. This is the 8-page preview for the ongoing series. This is my spoiler. So we have a new 8-page preview this week in addition to the 3 that came up before. So these are all new pages. I think we now have over half this comic out in preview now.
I was going to say, haven't we seen like the whole comic already?
Yeah, I know. Is there anything like, what else could there be? I'm looking at this thing, thinking. There's not much left to buy, and I got to say, these previews, to me, don't give me much reason to buy it.
Mm.
So far, we've had Ironhead getting killed, which I commented on, I think, last week, as just being, you know, the killing of major characters is such a, so you got nothing left.
Right.
Plus, you got
humans that are now super powerful, which... And
well, yeah, first we had humans with Transformers killing guns, and we kind of knew that from Coda, and now we see it a little more in here. And within this preview, we have two great moments on that front. One, we have, like, a patrol officer, like a police officer, get out of a cop car with what looks like a little grenade launcher, a handheld weapon, and shoot a Transformer, disabling them.
Yeah, that always
bothers
me.
It's like, okay. So now the cops can, like, actually take out a Transformer. Like, a squad car with two cops in it is a threat to a Transformer. As if that weren't bad enough, we have, like, a squad of 6 people from Skywatch, one of them seemingly Spike, in, like, what, mechs? In, like, power armor? Elementals? Attacking Transformers. And it's just like, yeah, time to reboot. That's what I see there. When I see, like, Transformers and Elementals, I'm like, time to reboot. You're done. You ran out of ideas. You have nothing left. This is, I can't think of anything I want to read less in the Transformers fiction than I'm getting the butts kicked by Spike.
Plus the once again, the drawing style doesn't seem to garner much appreciation from the fans of the way that the Transformers look.
Yeah. And it's all style. It's not quality. It's not like Don Figueroa can't draw.
Right.
The guy draws beautiful art, but he's drawing beautiful art and stuff. It doesn't look very good.
Yeah.
And then we have a writing problem here, and I'm just going to pull this right out. I think maybe the best thing IDW has done since its inception may have been All Hail Megatron 15, written and drawn by Nick Roche, which had like this awesome portrayal of Prowl as just being this total intellectual, cold-hearted badass to the point of being like actually evil about things. And in this like few pages, we have Prowl leaping up to defend a Decepticon that might get killed by humans, breaking his cover and defying orders. And it's just like, who is this? Is this Hot Rod?
Yeah,
you know? I mean, if any Autobot isn't going to leap up to save Breakdown, it's Prowl.
Yeah. Well, beyond that, I don't like the idea of humans being able to actually... I mean, I tend to think that if the humans are going to defeat Transformers anyway, they're going to do it by using the elements of their surrounding environment and their ability to know more about the Earth than the Transformers. The idea of, you know, humans actually coming up with superior weapons and using them, just, I don't know. That's just, that's been done too many times before.
Well, and they better have a damn compelling reason that the Transformers don't just leave at this point.
Yeah.
It had better be better than Prime being stupid.
Yeah.
They're just like, Prime's dumb. He wants to defend them even though they want us gone. It's like, you know what, the point where they're hunting down Decepticons and then hunting down Autobots because they don't care? Not that that makes a whole lot of sense to me either. I really don't think this is the way humans would behave in this situation.
Oh, I know. That's another
issue. I don't buy any of this. I just don't buy the whole concept. And I, you know, this would be like the comic I bought and stopped reading.
Right.
So far. I don't want to judge it before I've read it. But I got to say, like, marketing-wise, if, you know, I was just a, you know, comic book buy-in person and I didn't review them and I didn't, you know, wasn't on a show about them every week, I'd probably stop buying them now. From the marketing they've done. From nothing else.
Hey,
we got to get Anthony back on here. We got to get Dave back on here and talk about Continuum because that's another part of this marketing.
All right, we'll go ahead and type to him here.
And it's epic failure. So, okay, I'm done with spoilers now anyway. We can keep talking a little bit about it. Okay.
Come back, Dave. Come back. Come back.
I have re-requested our friend join us.
I am back.
Okay.
Spoiler-free.
Yep, we're spoiler-free. Oh, you lucky boy. Now, Continuum.
Yes.
We'd segued off, Dave.
Wait.
Marketing alone would have made me want to leave by now. Okay,
wait,
sorry.
Did you hear how desperate his voice was to say yes? I mean, you sound like you had a freaking orgasm there, Dave. I mean, geez, calm down now. It's just a comic.
I take no pleasure in what I'm about to do, Anthony.
I don't think anybody does. But proceed.
Yeah, our segue here was to say that you know, part of the marketing blitz to sort of get into the ongoing was very unconvincing, and I think Continuum is part of that unconvincingness. Like, I don't think this is going to attract a lot of new people. But before I go off into a rant, because that is, of course, my traditional place in the world, since I feel we're going to be pretty much on the same page here, Kel, why don't you dive right into Continuum and tell us what you thought?
The entire purpose of Continuum is to try and sum up in 22 pages the entire last 4 years of the Transformers, or 5 years, or however long IDW has been doing it, which they completely failed to do in any kind of coherent way. So right off the bat, it's completely wasted because they make so many glaring errors and so many mistakes that it's unfunny. However, the big kicker of it, and this is something that you were talking about before I even got the chance to read it, is that it's badly written. Like, unbelievably poorly written. And I will say it's written by Andy Schmidt, who's the editor, but the he's written Galvatron. He wrote the Galvatron story, and he also wrote Spotlight, Metroplex, both of which I enjoyed. So he can write, but this, like, the amount of cliches and the amount of just poorly researched and poorly written and poorly constructed sentences I've got it here. There's one which I just I want to basically just comment on right off the bat. And this is like right at the beginning of the actual issue. There's like a almost Transformers the movie, if you live in the UK, because I know you guys didn't get it, but the text crawl at the beginning of the original Transformers movie. And it says, Transformers are comprised of heroic Autobots led by Optimus Prime, and the Decepticons led by Megatron the Merciless. And it's like, what? Like, I don't know. That sentence just drives me nuts. Because it almost feels, if you've seen the 86 UK movie, you'll be aware of the fact that in the text crawl it says, the Decepticons led by the maniacal Megatron have sworn to crush their enemies, the Autobots, to this end, blah, 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 blah. And it just feels like he's trying to regurgitate that, but just poorly. But that being said, the continuity's all over the place. Nothing makes sense. They add in things which they don't need to touch on. Why did they need to bring up Spotlight Wheelie? Why, out of all of the Spotlights, is Spotlight Wheelie important? Spotlight Magnus is in the wrong place. All of a sudden, apparently, Megatron's dead. Shall we just go into the continuity errors?
Yeah, just go into it.
Right, okay. Megatron isn't dead. The only thing that I can think of, right? This is what I was expecting. I was actually expecting that at the end of this issue, there would be a scene where it turns out the person who is narrating it is a general, like a US general who doesn't have all the facts. Like, Megatron is dead because nothing could have survived that shot from Spike. And he wasn't on board Astro Train, so he has no idea that Megatron's alive. The Skywatch was behind all of it because that's what he was told by his superiors. But it's not. It's a nameless report given by... Well, it's not even a report. Here's my question to you, Matt Ender. Do you... obviously, you've read the Dreamwave stuff. Right?
Yes.
Issue zero of the Dreamwave ongoing was basically a recap issue. And it was recapped entirely from the perspective of the Quintessons. And it was three Quintessons talking, or at least like multiple Quintessons with multiple personalities. And they managed to sum up pretty much everything in a coherent way. The problem I have with this one is this issue would have been much better if it had been an ongoing conversation between two people. If it had been two people talking, one guy filling the other one in. And I'm not talking about all of the errors that go on, but just like in terms of it actually being something you would want to read. And you don't get that. It's just like, it's just, here it is, raw, unedited, incorrect. I don't know.
It's just painful.
Yeah,
by like some intern or something?
No, this is the editor.
This is the editor, and like no one edited it.
Like, look, we've had Andy Schmidt on the podcast. He is a great guy, and he seems to know what he's talking about.
And he's a respected editor in the industry.
This guy works for Marvel. This guy worked like on pretty much every single major Marvel title. He's not an idiot, but this, like, I don't know if it was just deadline or something like that, but there's one bit right at the very first page where they're talking about Megatron Origin, and it basically says, and I'm quoting from the issue here, after the rebellion began, he recruited many new and powerful allies. Among them, the most notable were three Seekers, Starscream, Thundercracker, and Skywarp. They ruled the skies and were noble. What? Where did that... what do you mean the noble?
That's not in... Yeah, well, they certainly weren't like noble warrior in that sense, and there is no indication that they were like of noble birth.
To count them amongst his allies give Megatron's rebellion legitimacy? In whose eyes? He wasn't a slave. He was a mine worker. It's just like somebody...
made that up.
Yeah.
That's not recap.
I just want to pick this up now just to see all the errors.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just wrong.
And not only that as well, but like...
omissions. Let me play devil's advocate. I mean, we are hardcore, diehard fans that live and breathe everything for Transformers. Is it possible this is just another job for somebody, and he probably doesn't, you know, like Peter Cullen, Frank Welker?
No,
it's just a job. They just...
No. This is the editor. This is his job today. This isn't a recap of his job before. Yeah. And this comic, it's not like you can't forgive continuity errors in a comic. God knows we forgive a lot of errors. This is a continuity comic. This is meant to, the label on the box says, like, this is everything you need to know. This is all the correct information. This is a summary. This is, and even, like, quite frankly, it should have been a set of bracers for the loose points in the continuity.
Mm.
You know, this is like rat poison that attracts rats.
You know what this should have been? You know what this should have been, right? This should have just been like, okay, you're 1 week away from releasing your ongoing series and you want to bring people in, okay? You've got all this artwork and stuff like that. This is what you do. You don't write something like this. What you do is, because, okay, look, you're trying to fit 5 years worth of continuity into 22 pages. That is a tough challenge. And granted, there is a fair bit that has to be edited out. What you do is you say, look, we've got a book. We're not tied to the format. You write a prose book. You just give a page of dialogue with a page of artwork. And you basically, like, okay, it's a novel. Like, it's 22 pages of written text. It's not a comic book, but this isn't a comic book either. You know, and then you're not limited to like three panels on a page or anything like that, where your main objective is to get it done as quickly as possible. Then you can take the time to actually go through it and read it and get all of the small nuances out. Like, as his reputation grew, it became impossible to ignore Sentinel Prime. It became impossible to ignore Sentinel Prime, then leader of the Autobots. It is said challenged Megatron to a one-on-one battle. Sentinel had never been defeated in single combat. Who cares? Like, if he was ever involved in single combat, like...
Well, there are details here that are completely senseless.
Yeah.
And there are huge pieces of information that are either wrong or are omitted. I mean, the omissions are at least as long as the book.
Yeah. There's what gets me, though, this is what gets me, right? And this is where I almost feel like this is the entire reason for this book to exist, right? Is right at the end of the issue, right at the end, you get basically read all about these incredible adventures in the collected editions available now. And that to me is what this entire issue is about reselling those books. Because this is not a comprehensive, this is not a comprehensive history of the Transformers. It gives you, they even have the gall, at the end of the issue to give you the books in order, in actual order to read them. And it's Megatron Origin. Okay, that makes sense. That's the first one. Spotlight Blur is number two. Really? Okay, maybe, like, you could maybe say that, but then you've got, like, then it's like Spotlight Shockwave, Spotlight Jazz. Well, we know Spotlight Jazz is a flashback, but we know it's currently taking place in All Hail Megatron. So
right.
It can't come at number four.
I have, like, some interesting news on the flashback front.
Right.
On the spotlight front.
Okay.
I think I'll just throw it in here before I forget.
Mm.
And I want to say this on your thing, too, because I don't know if you guys know this. So I picked up All Hail Megatron Volume 3
yes.
the day. And I had thought that they had just decided to split Coda into two books for no apparent reason, hoping to, you know, milk a little extra cash out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the impression that you had had, Dave?
Well,
we're wrong. I thought you'd agreed there, but what do you think?
Well, I mean, as far as Volume 3 goes, I was just under the impression that's just the new Spotlight.
It is. They had a Spotlight that before, though. They had pre-orders for number 5. And now this is Spotlight. This is All Hail Megatron Volume 3, not Spotlight at all.
Oh, no, no,
which
yeah.
makes but, no sense. Does,
oh,
we,
no.
That makes, like, yeah. It doesn't fit there at all. God help any of us who like to see these like in some kind of order on the shelf.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. Explain to me, All Hail Megatron, the collector's edition number 3 has a spotlight in it?
Is all spotlights. It's the last five spotlights.
and I can't blame them for this. They've effectively banded it all into All Hail Megatron, between the end of All Hail Megatron issue 12 and Coda, they've put it in as volume 3, which I'm guessing maybe on some marketing level it just seemed easier to do it that way, and I don't necessarily blame them for that, because Spotlight Jazz takes place during All Hail Megatron, but the majority of them, Cliffjumper, Blur, Metroplex, what's the other one? Drift, I suppose.
Drift. Jazz, you could argue for their place in All Hail Megatron.
So the rest of them, not at all. But as I say, this list is just littered with inaccuracy, right? You've got Spotlight Ultra Magnus as the 10th book to read, okay? Which means, in terms of order of when these books take place, Spotlight Drift is number 10. Spotlight Ultra Magnus is number 10. However, the comic you've just read tells you that Spotlight Ultra Magnus takes place after Infiltration, which is wrong. So even like within this very issue, they are out of the actual story that you read in this issue is out of sync with this list of books that it gives you to read. I don't know.
It conflicts with itself. It's unbearably bad. It's not professional level. It looks like, you know, actually, I think a fan doing this themselves would have done better, especially considering there's no new artwork.
Yeah.
Except for the cover, which is not attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Especially just because of the spike image, which you know wouldn't be such a big deal if it wasn't right in the middle. And it's just, I mean, it's an insult. I mean, this is what I was saying about that, putting those spotlights into an All Hail Megatron. IDW just keeps kicking the people who actually buy its comics in the teeth, just at like every turn. And I don't know if they're trying to attract some kind of a new audience. They're trying to get movie, you know, people to come and read G1 comics, which I think is not a very solid premise. But they're just like, you know, people who've been buying this are not going to be pleased. People who haven't bought Transformers comics in a while and are thinking of coming back will look at you to see like, oh, well, maybe I'll get a recap and see if I change my mind, see if the ongoing's any good. Those people are going to read this and congratulate themselves for not having bought previous titles. And new people, even if they manage to convince some new people to come in and buy this comic, they are going to get to the new stories and be confused by what's going on.
Yeah.
This is the flaw we haven't mentioned. If you've read these comics, this is a big one. They decide that Skywatch and the Machination are the same thing.
Well, they don't even mention the Machination. Like, the Machination
They just attribute it all to Skywatch.
Yeah, it almost feels like, and again, I don't want to have a go at Andy. He's a nice guy, and I don't want to have a go at, like, you know, it's difficult when you talk to these people and all of that stuff, and then when you have to criticize their work, it is a difficult thing. But honestly, this feels like somebody had a glancing view over the Wikipedia pages and thought they'd figured it out.
Yeah,
and this put together. And it's disappointing because I am so excited for the ongoing only on the basis of the fact that, hey, it's an ongoing series.
You haven't read the previews.
Yeah. Well, I haven't read the previews, but you know, that's only half the story. There's still another 11 pages or whatever, but you know, like I say, you would be better served finding somebody who reads the comics and sitting down with them for half an hour and saying, tell me whether or not I should, like, tell me what I should read.
Yeah. The bottom line is that this is a horrible read. It's not right. And honestly, this is of the caliber, like, IDW should be making an apology and issuing refunds. This is so bad.
Yeah.
And that ends our comic news.
Our speculations on who will be taking over the Transformers comic franchise next.
Hopefully it'll be three young individuals named Anthony, David, and whatever the hell your name is, Andrew. I don't even know your real name. I'm so used to calling
all part of the plan.
You know,
it's Matt. It's Matt. Yeah.
Let's just
don't broadcast that. It just increases the hate mail.
Oh well, can't be as bad as your review in the iTunes store by your wife. So
all I will say is though, to anybody who's listening to this and who's saying, "Well, screw it, I'm not going to buy it," buy issue one of the ongoing series and make your own mind up whether or not you like it or not.
Yeah.
Like, This hasn't been written. Yeah, this has been written by the editor, but this hasn't been written by Mike Costa. I can vouch for the fact that Mike Costa's previous work on G.I. Joe Cobra was damned excellent. And I'm not disputing the fact that he is probably a damn good writer. And the other thing is, as well, with comic books, it's a serialized medium. Even if you absolutely don't, like, pity your stomach, can't stand issue one, that's one of six. You know, give it a shot at least. But yeah,
I'm going to differ with you very slightly here and say that from what I've seen, buy the trade, read some reviews, and then buy the trade if you think it may have panned out.
Hmm.
I say wait for the trade on this, because IDW is frequently better in the trade. A lot of people read single issues of theirs and are like, "What the hell is this?" And then it comes together. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see this come together. But what they're giving us right now is not looking great. And I say, if you're on the fence, wait a little bit. Keep paying attention to, you know, what people are saying about the series. If you feel like you made a mistake, I guarantee you IDW will make you a nice trade paperback at a reasonable price that will probably be a much more enjoyable read in a single sit-through.
However, we would like to absolutely 100% categorically demand that you buy Last Stand of the Wreckers in single issue.
Yes. Yes. Buy it. Buy both covers.
Buy as much as you can.
Buy some for your friends. Send Nick first nice mail.
In fact, for Christmas, ask for a tattoo of "I will buy Last Stand of the Wreckers" forehead.
Go on eBay and buy your Springer and Cup toys now that you've been meaning to. Go find that overlord.
that's comic books.
All right. Well done, guys. Well done. So, all right. Just a quick note that Transformers G1 original packaging box art is up for auction. It's the Metroplex, and the Onslaught, pun intended, is to auction off our childhood continues. There are 5 lots of TFG1 box art at comiclink.com. Auctions end on 11/19, just a few days, folks. The valued art is from $7,000 to $10,000, as well as original paintings that were created by several commercial artists, including Astrotrain, Air Raid, Blitzwing, and all 4 in the MicroMasters Battle Patrol. These original paintings were created by several commercial artists in the 1980s for Toy Giant Hasbro for usage on their boxes and packaging for the Transformers toy line that began in 19... Yeah, blah, blah, blah. The era of Transformers known as Transformers Generation 1. So, if you want, you can actually own a piece of Transformers history, and I have to say, sometimes you only get the original art is 10 times better than probably what we saw in the box, because transferring the stuff back in those days probably produced a ton of
degradation.
Yeah, thank you. Errors. And what do you guys think?
I think I was much more excited about the back of the box art, as well as, like, this is like the B-grade character parade.
All right, then. That was Ender. Once again, a brining sunshine of hope. No.
I also do bar mitzvahs.
I think it's kind of cool to see the original art. It varies in their quality. I think the last 3 are a little bit more done to perspective compared to... I mean, Metroplex just looks out of proportion for some strange reason.
Well, a lot of them did. They all were kind of weird art. I don't know. See, a lot of these box art things, like, some of them look kind of funny. Some of them are really classic images. And some of the weirdness is what makes them classic images, too. I mean, that's part of their charm at this point, anyway.
Like, but, Astro Train...
I just don't know about paying for them.
Yeah, like, Astro Train looks cool, but his proportions are, like, completely off in several... But then again, of course, they're working from what they could do with the toy. And the toy doesn't move that way.
Well, and they might not have even had a great... You know, all they had was the toy. They probably weren't given much license to mess with it. You know, so these aren't, like, the romanticized images we'd see in a cartoon.
Right.
Which is really for the best in a lot of ways. But I gotta say... With some of the box art, I thought like the background images was really cool. Like hanging a picture up of like some of those, you know, giant sprawling battles would be really cool. But some of these things I look at and just think, man, if I'm going to drop four digits to see that picture of Metroplex, I think I'll buy a mint and sealed package one.
I think I'll draw my own Metroplex and rename him Dupleflex.
That's so you, Anthony.
I'll draw it myself. I can make art too.
He'll be off-white.
Where's my ruler?
A ruler.
No, literally. I mean, that's like when I did all my drawings. I basically it was all ruler.
Tell, there was some serious geometry going on there, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I never did. Could
have turned that thing in high school.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, I got straight A's in art, man. I mean, you can't deny me that.
So. I meant geometry.
Oh, geometry is actually, my best math course. So... I
can't imagine you and that ruler. That must have been a powerful combination.
I was always a creative person. That's why I went to art school. So I didn't have to do math.
That's why I dropped out of art school.
Well, you could always go back. So,
man, it was like, you know, you got up, you had to be at class by noon. You could still taste the toothpaste then. That's just awful.
Oh, man, I had 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock history of cinema. Oh, you know, that's another story for another time.
It's all right. I was there. It's okay. I understand.
Someday I'll tell you of, I'll tell you a story off air of a prank we did of replacing a movie in history of cinema class with this.
Good. Then I can retell the story on air in an embarrassing tone.
There you go. As long as there's no way they could credit it back to me. So that being said, this concludes.
Dave. Oh,
what? Dave.
So he's back now. Yes. So what do you think of the box art?
The box art. Yeah, it's cool. You can pick up an aerial bot for less than $100. Proof that nobody cares about the aerial bots.
Who are they again? Actually, well, there's always the aerial bot drinking game, everybody. If you get the old series on DVD, you can take a shot every time an aerial bot does something stupid.
Or complains. or Silver Bowl gets afraid of heights.
If you watch the origin of, what was it?
Key to Vector Sigma.
No, I'm talking about the other one, the one where they go back in time and see the origin of Prime.
War Dawn.
Watch War Dawn, you'll be blitzed in like 3-4 minutes. Buy an extra bottle for War Dawn.
Still the best episode of Transformers ever made, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Next to The Secret of Omega Supreme are my top two.
I'm not sure what my second is, but that one's just amazing.
Well, actually, there you go. Why don't you think about that, and we'll talk about our top two episodes of Transformers next week.
Okay, we can do that.
Yeah.
All right.
With that being said, this has been the TFormers.com podcast, and I've been your host, Iron High 1975. Go check us out at TFormers.com, and go join us in the forums. You can leave your thoughts and feedbacks and or corrections, as you know, some of our...
Like feedback. That would be a collection.
Yeah.
And then I needed a correction. Wow.
Why
scale
was
face.
It,
where
was,
are you?
Yeah, scale face. You just...
You said feedbacks, and then I said collections. We're like... on the money today.
Yeah,
we can talk.
Well, I'm medicated, so I have an excuse. What's your excuse?
Which is why we have British people on with us to correct our grammar.
Exactly.
What and all of that stuff.
But so go check us out, tformers.com. Leave your you can email us at podcast@tformers.com. I think that's about it. So
we should thank our guest for being here.
Yes, thank you. Oh yeah, check out Mr. Kello Prime and his glorious podcast, Moonbase 2. Now celebrating their how many years have you been doing this?
A year and a half.
A year and a half anniversary.
Yeah.
Which you can go and also celebrating both the host birthdays. And
yeah, you can go check it out this week. You can download this week's episode because we have Ender on, and we will be raging about comics.
Yeah, cross-pollination.
Yeah.
Yep. So, we rant even louder there sometimes.
Yeah. Because, yeah, the reason is because, like, I'm supposed to be – because Anthony's obviously not as into the comic books. Like, we don't have somebody going, come on, guys, like, you know. Come on. So it's just basically just becomes a case of just like,
yeah, they you guys have a little more bandwidth to talk about for 3 hours.
The Moonbase 2 comic fury.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, there are some of us that want to be able to eat and sleep during our day. So, all right, go check out the Moonbase 2 podcast. It's one of my favorites, and it will be one of yours too. So, thank you again, gents. And this is Iron High 1975.
This is Ender.
And this is Kyle Prime.
You're waiting for Z Piper, weren't you?
Yeah, I was just mentally putting it in. This is Z Piper.
And this wasn't Z Piper.
Have a good week, everybody.
You want to lay the fate of the world on the kid's Camaro? That's cool.
The TFormers.com podcast is copyright 2009 TFormers.com. Special thanks to the Cleveland band Gravity for use of their music. Go check them out. MySpace.com/Gravity33. Check out our forums and leave your feedback or send us email at podcast@tformers.com. This has been an ENI production, all rights reserved.
Gee, I wonder what sitting next to your oneself causes one to think.
Well, it's certainly the only way you can be assured of intelligent conversation.
So, me, what do you think of this?
What did you think of that breakfast I made for us?
I found it quite...
With me, as I'm too honest, so my other self would just be like, I think it was crap. That's what I think, Matt.
Oh, God. Ender arguing.
My mother made me wonderful breakfast just now, though, so I shouldn't complain.
Ender arguing with Ender. I think that would, like, punch a hole in the space-time continuum.
Ender on Ender violence.
David, how are you, my friend? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, no, it has been a while, sir. Yeah, I'm all right. Not too bad.
Are you using an external microphone or a headset?
An external one at the minute.
Aha. That's why you sound like you're in a tuna fish can.
Nah. I'll have to find my headphones.
Find your headphones, my friend. There's an echo that makes you sound godly.
Well, no, that's just my natural speaking voice.
What's that, Anthony? Kal-El's down the well? Is that it, boy?
Run, boy, run! Run back to the village. Get help.
Okay.
So, Lassie, you could tell when somebody's down the well, but yet you still poop outside. Go figure that one out.
Yeah. Well, it's you know what? What would a dog do otherwise? I mean, it's not so much a matter of figuring out the toilet thing, but seriously, toilet paper, paws? I don't think so.
I don't know. They can run if they get a. Some dogs they get the toilet paper and oh, there's no joke there. I'm bailing.
It's a good try though.
maybe it's just that a dog who has actually managed to, you know, notice when humans are in distress and know exactly what to do in a crisis situation, maybe just thinks that, like, the toilet is just beyond them now. You know, it's like, you don't need to go back and retrace their old steps.
They're just like, man, I saved Grandma. I can poop wherever I want.
Yeah, seriously, I'd be like, what? I saved Timmy for the fifth time. You're still feeding me this dog crap?
It's like you poop in the front hall and they come at you with a newspaper and you're like, after I saved Timmy? Seriously?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Oh.
How about you roll that newspaper up real tight and smack yourself, okay? Open the freaking door next time.
Be like, oh, Timmy's done well, but I'm not going to tell you unless you give me that newspaper to go hide while you go search for Timmy.
Is Timmy down the well, girl? He's down the well? No, but I pooped in your sock drawer. Good luck with that.
Kello, I can hear him.
Hold on, I found him.
He's assembling a transformer as we speak.
No, I was trying to find headphones. I couldn't find them anywhere. I've got them.
I just picture him stepping over hordes of Transformers piled up on the floor, like the giant mosh pit for the kids at BotCon.
He's rocking that echo, so I hear all this noise in the background, and I just start to think he actually is in a mine shaft. He's like, "Welcome to my underground lair."
Oh yeah, didn't you know all British people come equipped with James Bond villain bases?
Oh yeah, that's why I want to move there. I'm a lifelong Anglophile. I want my underground base.
To you know, to actually celebrate Transformers Animated, I'm coming from a cave, an abandoned mine. Oh.
Which of course every 15 feet in Northern England, right?
Yeah, exactly. My fellow podcasters, the time has come for us to rise up and, you know, and so on and so forth. Oh.
I just want to know, is hogweed really a big problem over there in Britain?
I have no idea what that is, so I'm guessing no.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what that is either.
It's a Genesis song, Return of the Giant Hogweed.
Ah, right. So, yeah.
I don't think they celebrate Hogs Watch Night either.
No, this is a plant. Well, stop throwing me for a loop, Ender. I'm highly medicated.
That was my job.
Oh, actually, yeah, you know when I think about it, that is your job. Now, your job is to make me sound funny. That's what you
I'm supposed to confuse you into being funny.
Yeah, exactly. take what I set you up with and just, you know, spike it like the volleyball court it is.
Verbal dodgeball.
Ah.